Hi, welcome to BA Brew. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Mike.
Today we're going to be talking about the subject of creative thinking. It's an area that Mike and Joe are particularly passionate about, and I have to admit I really like it as well. So we're going to dive in with a question. I'm going to go to you, Joe, if that's okay. What is creative thinking? How would you summarise it to someone else?
So creative thinking is a way of challenging the status quo. It's about looking at the whole end-to-end design process and thinking of different ways of doing things, challenging people's perceptions, breaking through some of the rules and boundaries of how things are currently done in a positive, creative kind of way. As a summary?
Brilliant. Mike, do you want to have a go at that question as well?
Yeah, I think Joe's covered it pretty well there. There are some things that we're trying to do within creative thinking, which is suspend some of our biases, try to think about things in a different way, generate ideas, and then suspend the evaluation of those ideas. So just generate lots of stuff, and then later on actually evaluate them and determine which ideas are worth actually taking forward.
But I like to think about divergent thinking and divergent creative thinking, quite similar concept. So thinking divergently and expansively about all possible ways to think about a problem, an opportunity, an issue, whatever it might be you're thinking about. And its opposite is the convergent thinking, where we're evaluating, deciding ways forward. One of the ways that I like to think about what are we doing with creative thinking is to think about its opposite. We might come on to later as well. But it's the opposite of linear thinking. So linear thinking, we might take our bias and our assumptions into a problem-solving context, come up with a solution straight away. We haven't really thought expansively about what it is that we're doing and how we might solve the problem or opportunity. It's not always bad, is my view. Sometimes linear thinking, if you're hungry, eat something. You can use linear thinking and you can choose your solution, your favorite, whatever it is, an apple, banana, or something else. Flavorsome, who knows? But you can use linear thinking, but its opposite is this creative thinking where we're going to go broad and expansive. They're my two pennies worth on this. Why is it important? Why should we have a podcast on creative thinking for change professionals? Mike, why would you say it's important?
I think coming back to that point about bias and what was it? Einstein said you can't solve the problem by. I can't remember what the phrase is, but you can't solve a problem by tackling it the same way effectively. I think that was. And can you remember what his phrase is, Jonathan? I feel most embarrassed. I can't remember it. So I've been on holiday.
Without Googling it.
I think it's something to do, and I won't give it word for word, but we can't solve the problems of today by using the same thinking that was used to create those problems. I think it's along those lines. I think that's the gist of the quote, but maybe Joe's Googled it, or one of our listeners put it in LinkedIn comments. But yeah, we can't use the same thinking to solve problems that were used to create those problems. We've got to think a little bit differently. So that's really quite philosophical, Mike, that kind of quote, it's really important.
It'd be even better if I actually got the quote right, wouldn't it?
It would.
I guess the sentiment is there. There's an important bit there, which is actually we've got to break out of the standard way of thinking to come up with solutions to things. That does require us to take a different approach to things and actually challenge ourselves a little bit. I think that's probably enough for me to say whilst I recollect my thoughts.
Joe, why would you say it's important?
I think just to follow on from that, really, it's about giving permission to think a bit differently. You know, if we do the same thing all the time, we're not going to break any new ground or change with things that change externally as well. So I think it's just about giving that professional safe space to do things a bit differently whilst, you know, following some good techniques that have been well practiced as well.
I'm going to latch onto the word thinking here. There about permission to think came up slightly, but as a change professional, particularly a business analyst, our job is to analyze and to think. If you're a service designer, you've got to think about the context that you're operating in, the environment, the products, the services, solutions that you're working on. And for some reason, in some organizations and in some cultures, there seems to be an absence of the ability to challenge assumptions, challenge status quo, and to think divergently. And I think that this is really core to the change profession. We have to think about what we're doing and the impact, think systemically, think about the service offer, the long-term effects of what you're doing. But I worry that there's a culture in the change profession of just doing the nearest and easiest thing on occasion. And some people, particularly business analysts I speak to, they're really very much in favor of using user stories for everything. This is maybe a bit controversial, but we can't just rely on that single technique. We've got to think holistically. We've got to think expansively about what we're doing and give ourselves permission to really think about the business problems and opportunities. And this is where creative thinking, I think, come in. This is about business analysis, service design, business architecture, and other change professionals really stepping up and helping their organizations move forward in alignment with the strategic goals and outcomes. This, to me, is a really important part of what I think the change profession should be moving towards.
I think there's another aspect as well, which I'm going to try to be a little bit more coherent about, which is some very good psychology about the way the human brain works. We've got two types of thinking. We've got the unconscious thinking, where we come up with an answer really quick. And that's very much based on our experiences and our biases. And then we've got another type of thinking where we are able to explore and potentially step away from some of those biases and think things out. Now, that first type of thinking is really important when we've got to make a quick decision about something. So there's a fire, we've got to get out, get away from the fire, or we're about to see an oncoming car, we need to step out of the way, or drive slightly differently. So that's an appropriate type of thinking in those situations. It's not the appropriate type of thinking when we're trying to solve business problems. I think that's perhaps a more coherent answer.
You're sounding coherent to me, Mike. Don't worry. Right. Should we talk a little bit about how we might create an environment where people feel that they're in the mood, they're able to do this thing that we're talking about, creative? Joe, how have you done it in the past? Have you seen any kind of ways that people have set up a creative thinking environment?
Yeah, I think this is about, you've got all your techniques and things as part of, you know, your change practice, your BA practice, service design, you've got all these different techniques you can use, but it's about creating a culture where you can apply those techniques to the industry that you work in as well, because there are differences between, say, a housing organisation compared to a small, you know, private startup. They're very different cultures. The same techniques may not necessarily work. So it's about creatively being able to challenge how that works, how you roll it out, how you deliver projects. I think that's where creative thinking is really, really important, because the same routines aren't going to work for different organizations.
It's
culture. Yeah.
You've got to really keep that culture in mind as your context, as you're thinking about using creative thinking or applying it. Mike, I know that you ran a recent Business Analysis Managers Forum workshop. You did something quite interesting, I think, to get them in the mood for creative thinking. Are you happy to share what it was that you got them doing?
Yeah. I mean, for me, there's three key things about getting people ready for the creative thinking. First of all, you've got to get the right people. And at the BA Manager Forum, everybody's self-selected. So they volunteered, crazy. They volunteered for that session, and so that was good. So we've got the right bunch of people. We needed the right place, and we had a room in Connaught Rooms that was nicely set up for that. And then you need to have the right environment. So your people have got to have the feel that they're free to contribute and suspend judgment and do all of those things. And whilst you can get the people in the place right, getting the environment right in the room is a bit more tricky. So what we did at the BA Manager Forum was we had an icebreaker session at the beginning where on each table, depending on how many people there were on the table, they had to arrange themselves to spell a word based on how many people there were on that table. And that was really good because it got people standing up trying to work out how they were going to shape the letters. They had to think about what word it was. And it was really good because it really sort of got everybody relaxed and comfortable doing something slightly silly, but not embarrassingly so. And so that was a technique we used. But that's not always going to be possible, particularly on a virtual environment. That's going to be a little bit tricky to try and get people to do that.
I think some projects as well, Mike, come in on, and there's all this like background context that you've got to get up to speed with within the first week or so, because there are certain stakeholders who might have very differing views, and you come in running a session for a couple of hours and there's no way you can unpick that in like half an hour icebreaker. So kind of creatively finding ways of making it a welcoming environment that ticks all the boxes without ruffling any feathers, I guess. It's tricky, isn't it? It's a different kind of ask.
Because in context, if you go in and say, right, well, let's do something fun to get people warmed up for creative thinking, they might perceive that you're not doing real work. Hang on. Problem to solve over here. Why are you asking people to find a picture of a cat, post it on a Miro or a mural board or whatever you've done to get them to warm up? Asking people what they're, if they were a Disney character, which one would they be as an icebreaker? If you were to use that, I'm not saying you should use that, by the way, that in certain contexts is going to just fall over. It's just, why are you doing these weird icebreaker type exercises to get people in the mood to be creative? It's not always going to work, and it can be really difficult to choose the way in which you create that environment. But I really liked your tips, Micah. The right people, the right place, and then the great environment. We're getting into the environment now. It's quite a challenge. So this is really very much context dependent. One of the things that we've talked about on the podcast very recently was psychological safety. You've got to feel safe. You can come up with a weird icebreaker or get people to think creatively. And that's partly the job of the facilitator of that session to help create that psychologically safe environment. But one of the things that I do is I try and set some rules around no criticism of the ideas, suspend judgment, build upon each other's ideas. As a facilitator of a creative thinking session, I would often try to come up with the weirdest and wackiest idea possible. What I try to do is set the tone to say it's okay to come up with a silly idea. And so I come up with the silliest idea I can think of, to show people that this is actually okay, that you can be creative. Right, let's get on to our favorite techniques. I know you've got a long list and it's only a short pod. So I'm going to go to you first, Joe. What are your top two, maybe three, creative thinking techniques? Which ones are your favorite? And are you happy to say what the technique is and what it is as well?
Yeah, so to pick a top three, and it's quite hard to pick a top three because there are so many really good ones, but coming back to difficult stakeholders and a good way of getting them on the same page, probably Crazy Eights. You can do a sheet of paper, eight ideas, everyone to fill it out, 8 minutes, 1 minute per idea, and just evolve the idea on a sheet of paper. At the end of the 8 minutes, you get everyone back together and kind of share what you've written, and quite a nice way of getting people on the same page or to creatively come up with different ideas themselves. Second one would probably be the theming and grouping one, which is looking at all stakeholder perspectives or ideas or things that the whole group have come up with through a discovery exercise, and identifying kind of themes or patterns or clusters together. And a really good thing about this is you can build on the ideas. So you might be prompted by a theme and say, well, actually, we could add to this and have some new ideas. So that works in so many different contexts. It's brilliant. And then the third one is probably like research walls and mood boards. So if you think like a crime scene where you're pulling together kind of all the evidence in one place, or you're, you know, updating your bathroom and you want all the different kind of decor to be consistent or to have a nice contrast, you can put everything on a sheet of paper and see it all in one place. So it's like a nice kind of rich picture visual way of doing something. And I think, Jonathan, you've used this yourself, haven't you?
You're bringing back memories from our house renovation and my wife's Pinterest board of all different ideas that she had for different rooms. And it was a really nice visual to start a conversation about, well, what are the possibilities with regard to what we were trying to do with the renovation? Why don't we use that in a work context? Because it can help us with our thinking. And I really like the idea of building upon themes and adding in new ideas so that we can show that kind of collaboration in the creative thinking. So it's not a solo endeavor. You're bringing people together through the visuals, Joe, which I think is really great. Right. Same question to you, Mike. And I know you've got a massive toolkit on creative thinking. So I am going to limit you to top two or three only, Mike. What are your favorite creative thinking
things? Okay. Shall I just talk really, really quickly? Okay. So my top three are three I'm particularly fond of that I used in the creative thinking workshop we did at camp with Karen Newnham. And we both really enjoyed using those techniques. It was a really good session. The first one is magnify, where you take, you look at the problem that you've got and look at the different dimensions of it and then magnify one or more of those dimensions. If you've got to do a presentation to 100 people, how would you do it if there were a million people? Or if you've got an hour to deliver a very complex message, you could minimize it. How could we deliver that message in 5 seconds? So we break out of the thought processes, the standard thought processes, by multiplying one of the dimensions of the problem. Second one that I really like is different perspectives. So that one, start with a list of 60 names. Look at the second hand on your watch. If you haven't got a second hand on your watch, ask somebody else who has. and then look on the list to match up, find the name that's at that. So 30 seconds, it's Mickey Mouse. And then you think about the problem. How would Mickey Mouse solve that problem? What options might it be? You can have create your own list with a mixture of real people and fictitious people. So again, you're thinking about it from somebody else's point of view, which is really quite good. It gives you a license to break out of your own mind. And then the last one, which is my absolute favorite, and it one that always seems to get the most engagement and also generates the most crazy ideas as well. It really get really creative, which is thinking about how to make the problem worse. So there's something about that that people really enjoy that technique, because they think, how can we break this? Make this problem worse. And it was interesting because we ended up at the AMPs, at the BA Manager Forum, with zombies and all sorts of crazy things. And it's one of the points about that actually is once you've built up the freedom to come up with these slightly more extreme options, then people get really creative and you can generate lots and lots of ideas. Then, of course, you've got to turn those round into something practical, which we didn't have time in the workshop at the BA Manager Forum, which is a bit of a shame. They're my three.
Mm-hmm. I really like that idea of looking through a problem from someone else's perspective. And I particularly like to choose Donkey from Shrek rather than Mickey Mouse. How would Donkey from Shrek solve this problem? And kind of that license it gives you to think in a non-linear way. Donkey from Shrek might not come up with any reasonable ideas, but what it's doing is forcing that divergence in terms of the way that Mickey Mouse would solve the problem is going to be different to if you chose, I don't know, Barack Obama. It gives you that license to think differently, doesn't it? So, yeah, really nice and neat techniques there, and that make it worse. Magnify as well, really cool. I'm going to answer my own question now. I think Joe is about to ask me. I'm going to jump in and answer, and I'm going to try and limit myself to top three as well. So I like assumption reversal. So you start by looking at all of your assumptions relative to your problem and opportunity context. And so you identify them. And what this does is it helps us possibly recognize our bias that we might have relative to that environment or that opportunity context, because we then reverse the assumptions. So if we took a meal in a restaurant, we might have an assumption that the restaurant is a physical space, and we might have an assumption that there's a table. There might be an assumption that there's someone that's going to wait on us. We might have an assumption that there's a chef. So we take these assumptions and reverse them. No chef, no table, it's not a physical space. And all of a sudden you get a broad variety of potential ideas. And people use this technique with seem to quite like doing the reversals. and I quite enjoy it. So that's my top technique. I really like one where you link things that shouldn't be linked. So if we had a problem, and I'll use a restaurant example again. So let's say we're designing the services inside a restaurant. We could ask of our workshop to name their favorite book, TV show, film, and then ask them, well, what could you use from your TV show, book, film to help make that problem or opportunity better? So I've got Optimus Prime behind me. How would we improve a hotel experience using Transformers? Or how would we make this travel experience improved if the film that people's favorite is Harry Potter or something like that? I have had some weird ones. Someone once suggested that their favorite film or book was quite a contentious political film, and it didn't quite work. So it's not always going to work is your favorite film, but it can help. And then my final technique that I'm going to talk about is called Lotus Blossom Technique. And there's a Techniques in Two on this. My colleague Lisa introduced me to this some time ago. This is where you basically do either brainwriting or brainstorming of 8 to 9 different ideas associated with a problem or solution. And then what you do is you take each of those individual ideas and you expand upon them. And it forces you to come up with, I think it's 49, 50 individual ideas relative to your original problem or opportunity context. And you can see a linear traceability between your initial themes you come up with and then the other themes. And it really does work. One of my favorite techniques for creative thinking. So they're my top three. Interesting. Right. Joe, what have we not said about creative thinking? What top tips might you have? Final things you want to add on creative thinking?
I think maybe it's just any of these techniques can just be used as a guide. I think not to take anything too literally. Use it as a way of putting things in context and adjust the thinking techniques to fit what you're trying to do. I think they're just there as an idea, as a way of thinking outside the box and doing things a bit differently, not to take things too literally and to feel comfortable and confident in your ability to adapt it for your own work setting, because the people who write these techniques, they don't know what your work setting is like. So just feel comfortable to adapt things and then they'll work. I think probably the biggest thing.
Brilliant. Mike, any final thoughts? Anything we want to add on creative thinking?
Just echoing that about the location there, that you don't really want to be doing a creative thinking session in an area of your building or your location that is where you've got the senior execs, for example, because it can get quite raucous, it can get quite loud, and that's probably not going to give, or could give, the wrong impression to somebody. The other thing I'd say is there's loads of techniques, and try them, have a go with them, experiment with them small scale. So try them out, try the techniques on your own and with your team, and gradually build your confidence, because the more you use them, the better you'll get. And those are probably the two key things.
All right. I have one more that I want to add. Is that all right? I think just coming off from that, just as well as location, like read the room. I think if you've come up with a plan for a creative workshop and you get in there and you think, oh my gosh, this is not going to land with this audience at all, I think just having a bit of a fallback plan, having a few other options for how you can creatively get what you need for that piece of work without relying and just going ahead with it, even if you think it's not going to work with that audience, having a bit of a fallback. There are so many techniques that you don't have to stick with one, have a few backups.
Like, this is not meant to be sort of one-upmanship, but one of the other things that I think is really key is you need to start out with a very clear problem. If you don't have a clear problem, it's going to be very difficult to do any kind of creative thinking. So you need to make sure you have a clear problem and that is communicated to people in the room. Then you apply the technique. Sorry, I'm going to shut up now.
No, I like it. I like this. We're thinking creatively, Mike. Like, we're doing...
I was going to finish off with, think about why you're doing creative thinking on what problem, issue, opportunity. And you shouldn't be doing using any of these techniques unless you've got a valid reason to be using these techniques. And so thinking about your context, your environment, what organization do you work for? What is the strategic goals, priorities? And thinking about using these techniques in that context. Because one of the dangers, and it's a massive advantage of creative thinking techniques, people enjoy using them. They sometimes forget about the original reason why they were in the room in the first place, because they're enjoying looking at how Lord Voldemort might solve the problem or whoever. And it's kind of, that's okay, but we've got to have a mind on the business outcomes as well. It's where the divergent thinking switches into convergent thinking. And so being able to say, right, we've done enough creative thinking. Let's now start evaluating, prioritizing, thinking through. Right, let's assess feasibility, look at the business case for some of these ideas as a follow-on from the creative thinking session, so that we can move things forward.
I'm just thinking that almost sounds like it's limiting the creative thinking to that first part of the double diamond. But actually, when you look at the sort of techniques for creative thinking, there are techniques for the whole end-to-end of the service design. So maybe it's that when you're coming up with ideas, it's really, really important to use creative thinking, but actually it can be applied to any stage of the end-to-end design process. It doesn't just have to be that first bit.
And yeah, and you can apply it much later on relative to a prototype or anything that you want. Yeah, so that would be my final thought. Any last final thoughts? Because I know that you had some others. Mike, any tiny last final thought?
I think it's important to get people to suspend their natural biases and relax, and don't evaluate the ideas that you come up with. Do that as a separate convergent thinking session, as you said.
Yeah. And then Joe, any final thought?
I think just making it a really collaborative thing and letting everyone have an equal voice when you're doing a session. I think there can be a risk that the facilitator, you know, leads it in a certain direction, but just being collaborative is really important, and co-creating solutions to the problem.
Brilliant. Well, I just want to say a massive thank you to you, Joe, joining us the first time since we did Switch. I think was with Mike way back in season one. Although, you know, we did a Question Time special, didn't we, a few weeks ago? But it's your third appearance in the group, so thank you for joining us, Joe. Mike, thank you for joining us the day after you returned from holiday with your amazing tan. So thank you for joining us, Mike. Thanks everyone for watching and listening. If you've got additional ideas for creative thinking techniques that we've not mentioned, please do add them to the comments. Send them in to us. That'd be great to hear from you. If you've got any ideas for future BA Brew podcasts, please do email us at babrew@siskd.com. Thank you.